You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for the RBC Canadian Open. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, just say it.
What a week. It couldn't end up more perfect. We talked about this last night. I mean, this has been a historic week in the game of golf. And today we added another bit of history, an unexpected bit of history today.
We've been doing this for the last couple of weeks where we're like, oh, we're going to build our way into it. We'll talk about the early movers, a couple of notables, then we'll eventually get to the No, we got to jump right into this thing because we went 4 holes with Nick Taylor and Tommy Fleetwood in a playoff, both looking for massive wins. Nick Taylor trying to become the first Canadian in 69 years to win the Canadian Open. Tommy Fleetwood looking for his first PGA Tour victory and to even get into this playoff, Greg. What a run at the end here. Nick Taylor makes birdies on 17 and 18. And then Tommy Fleetwood still has holes to go. And he's standing on 18 tee, a par 5 that's playing well under par with a chance to play spoiler and win this thing in regulation.
Yeah, that we should be done with this whole thing right now. Right. in reality, this podcast should be in the books, over, done. Because Tommy Fleetwood should, you can make 4 on that hole. You should just make 4 on 18. And he hits iron off the tee into the rough, lays up into the rough. And then the best thing he could have done is get it on the green. He does. And it was a really nice 2-putt, but no, he had no putt to win that tournament. Say you should make 4 there is probably a little bit extreme. But you should at least have a makeable birdie opportunity. He was scrambling just to get into the playoff.
It was the easiest hole on the golf course on Sunday. So it's not completely unrealistic. You should at least have a look at a birdie putt. He did not. So we go to a playoff and it's 18, 18, 9, back to 18. What part of you, it was kind of bizarre actually before we get to that playoff, because Nick Taylor, he makes a nice little putt on 18 himself to get into this playoff. And he gives us the fist pump, the crowd's going nuts, and then he's got to play the sit and wait game.
Yeah, and it's, quite a wait. He's watching on, somebody was down there with a cell phone. He's watching Tommy play 18. But before that, he'd been hitting some balls on the range. There was quite a bit of time. I mean, you look at what he did after shooting 75 in the opening round. And then I think he was like 120th and then tied 47th and then tied 8th. And I was saying last night with you, Rick, that it's very unlikely that somebody has this trajectory and does it again on Sunday and ends up winning the tournament. And he goes out there and shoots 66. He plays a beautiful round of golf. I mean, he does everything that you should do. He's hitting it close with his irons, hitting it in there to 10, 15 feet all day, and is pouring in the putts. I mean, it was a beautiful putting display out of Nick Taylor today. And there were many clutch moments, which was really cool to see. You saw a little emotion out of him, right? A lot of these players, you think of Corey Connors, Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, Taylor Pendrith. They're very stoic. They're not very animated. But there were a couple of fist pumps here from Nick Taylor where you could see he was in the heat of battle today. And that was really cool to watch. You could tell, he knew what it meant to him.
They were 15 deep all day long with Nick Taylor. I mean, it was pretty, I know. So part of me knows that the whole like, oh, we love golf and we have to have a Canadian. I feel like that's a little overblown. I'll admit, I think it's a little overblown. However, you wouldn't know that by the gallery. So maybe it's not overblown.
Well, this is the one event where you're going to see that for any of them who are in the mix, right? They wanted this title. This was a major championship in Canada today, right? It's their national open. And they feel like they've been starved, but over the past couple of years, they've started to get teased a little bit, right? You started to have some really good players in the mix other than just Mike Weir. I mean, Jim Nantz was talking about it on the broadcast today. You know, there were many years where there wasn't really, other than Mike Weir, there wasn't really a Canadian contender. And now you have, what, five or six of them? You've had three winners this year on tour already. I mean, not that they were all in contention this week, but Corey Connors, Adam Hadwin, Adam Svensson, Mackenzie Hughes. And then you even have guys like Roger Sloan, who are very capable of winning PGA Tour events. So it's gotten a lot deeper in Canadian golf. They've made a big push to improve with Golf Canada. They've really put a lot of effort into creating and developing their talent, and finally it shows through.
The first playoff hole was number 18. They both make birdie. Second playoff hole, number 18, they both make par. Third playoff hole, number 9, that's par 3. They both have pretty decent looks at it, make par. The fourth playoff hole, back to 18. Tommy Fleetwood is probably, I don't know, 15, 18 feet away from birdie, kind of a similar line that he has had earlier in this playoff. And Nick Taylor is on the front of the green, Greg, 72 feet away. And I'm running through all the permutations. Okay, if he gets it up there, what if he leaves it 6 feet short? Now he's going to have 6 feet. Then Tommy can put the pressure on, yada, yada, yada. No permutations needed. Nick Taylor rolls in a 72-footer, walk it off Joe Carter for the victory in Canada, and the place goes absolutely bonkers.
Right in the middle, up, going up over a little ridge, right? And you're looking at it. I don't know if you were with me, Rick, but I'm thinking that's got to go a little bit. And then it climbed the hill. I was, that climbed the hill nicely. That's got enough. And then it's a foot away. You can't believe. And then it's gone. And it's over. The thing's over. You know, it had the feeling of a Kramer Hickok, Harris English 8-hole playoff at Travelers, where it's kind of, you know, I don't want to say boring, but it's kind of boring. Nobody's really doing it. It's like, who's going to avoid the big mistake? And then this happens. And so it goes from, it's another playoff hole. Okay, Tommy's 15 feet. We got 3-putt potential from Nick Taylor. This kind of feels like a have. And then all of a sudden, it's not, and it's over, and the place explodes. That was really cool. The finish, the rain falling, the Canadian fans going absolutely nuts. I mean, you've seen great finishes before on the PGA Tour. It happens all the time. But this one just felt a little more intense, a little more magical. It felt like there was a hero. It felt like the end of a movie, right? If Nick Taylor got carried off the green on a crowd, on top of a crowd, I wouldn't be surprised. It had that kind of feel. And that's not always the case in golf.
Well, Adam Hadwin almost got carried off the green. We'll see if we have that in a second. It is... I mean, let's just kind of put this into perspective here. So we've got rarely do you even get a walk-off, right? Something like a walk-off, right?
Right.
Where the place explodes. And if you do, it is at least somewhat realistic. Oh, this guy's got 20 feet or whatever. This was so unrealistic. It reminded me of... what was it? Rahm's 66-footer in a playoff against DJ at the BMW. And I'm not sure that was actually like a walk-off or if DJ still had to putt, but that's like the last time I remember being utterly shocked at an outcome like that.
Maybe Rahm at Torrey Pines, not in the US Open, but
his first win,
which is 2017.
Yeah.
That was probably a similar, I think that was like in the 60, in the neighborhood of 60 feet or something.
There were still groups coming in after that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it sealed it though. But I get your point. It wasn't to end a playoff. It's very shocking when something like that happens.
Well, we have the putt. Let's watch it here.
Good pace. Are you serious? Oh my goodness! Glorious and free.
Glorious and free, says Jim Nance.
Right? I mean, that's such a rare situation. You know, this is the Canadian Open. It's the week before a major. It's the week before a major. And you have just had a week filled with the biggest off the golf course news that the game of golf has ever seen. And all of a sudden you have this like miraculous finish to a tournament where there's a hero. That it's very rare. It's very rare. That was historic.
Bedlam, so much so that everybody who was greenside started to celebrate, started to run onto the green, and it makes security's job very difficult to decide who should be there and who shouldn't be there. And Adwin, our desert fox, got caught up in the mix a little bit here. Play it, Josh. For those just listening, that's Adam Hadwin with bottle of champagne and an absolute form tackle by security. Wrap him up, take him down, leave no room for error. Like, leave no doubt is what that security guard did.
Erase this man. what's Adam Hadwin saying? Like, do you know who I am?
I don't know, man.
I'm the desert fox.
That's I think you would have got 15 in the NFL for landing with your own body impact on him.
Right? Absolutely. Unnecessary roughness.
Wow.
I'll tell you what.
So seriously though, it was, so what ended up happening at Oak Hill is for the last couple of holes, the ropes like did not matter and everyone just started like piling in, and security had the job of like trying to figure out who's supposed to be in and who's supposed to be out, and it was insanity. And this guy's just, I don't know why he thought like a fan, I don't know, but like he just said, I'm not gonna get screwed on this one, I'm gonna cover my butt and take him down.
It's a hard thing, and look, this doesn't happen very often. Like, you think of Kiawah Island when Phil wins the PGA. You think of Tiger Woods at the Tour Championship in 2019, right? These are historic moments. They're legendary moments. The oldest player ever to win a major championship. Tiger Woods on a comeback after his back surgery. These are not the winner of a normal PGA Tour event, right? It doesn't happen in this kind of scenario. But you have the Canadian winning his National Open for the first time in, what, 69 years? That's, you know, pretty memorable stuff. And then you add to it that he made a 72-foot walk-off to do it. It's just crazy.
Yeah, 72 feet, by the way, is like less than 1%. Like the probability of that putt, like strokes gained wise and how often that goes in, it's like less than 1%. So to use your less than 1% in that moment would be very, very sick. Nick Taylor now thrice a winner on the PGA Tour. 2014 Sanderson Farms, big gap to the 2020 Pebble Beach Pro-Am where he went wire to wire. And then here in Canada, 2023 RBC Canadian Open. I'll tell you what, I did not think Nick Taylor was going to have a good week. I thought his stuff was a little pale. Maybe I should have recognized the pale play of the week coming into the week. But I'll tell you what, when we were in Phoenix, I was impressed with him because he stared down Jon Rahm. He stared down Scottie Scheffler, and he just would not go away from that championship. And despite, I didn't think he was playing all that well coming in, like when he got into the moment, he was not backing down off of it.
Yeah, look, pale. I mean, he missed his last two cuts as well. That usually hurts the pale play of the week. But it's something, there's something with Nick Taylor where he's been able to pop up every once in a while. He had a really nice run at the Valspar, a really nice run at the Valero Texas Open as well. So there have been moments where you've seen really good play from him. And I understand why you wouldn't think, I mean, he's a name you kind of click on rickrungood.com and can kind of keep on moving. Right. It's not a disaster, but there's no reason. But then when you look at this golf course, I think it really does fit his game in a way. It was well suited for him. And he took advantage of wedge opportunities. He was great when he, you know, like you take out that four hole stretch, 3 through 6, and you look at the back nine, and there's a ton of wedge opportunities. And he's a good wedge player. He showed it this week. He took advantage of those chances, took advantage of those opportunities, in large part because he was putting the ball in the fairway. And that's what Nick Taylor does. So I do think, while I agree with you, things were a little pale coming in, it definitely suited his strengths, and his strengths were on form this week.
Got another voice to the conversation. We've got him. Patrick McDonald is here. Josh, throw him in the mix, please. Thank you kindly. Patrick, can you believe what you just saw?
Absolutely disgusting. Are we talking about the Canadians cheering when Tommy Fleetwood's ball found the sand on the fourth playoff hole? I thought they were supposed to be nicer up there in the north. It was ridiculous, though. What a weird playoff. It kind of gave me shades of that Bryson Cantlay one at Caves Valley a couple years ago. It seemed like no one really wanted to win it. And then it's like, holy cow, Nick Taylor, 72 feet. How we doing?
I had a comparison, Patrick, to the Harris English Kramer Hickok one at Travelers.
Yeah.
Same, that was a good one. Same feel.
And yeah. I had a comparison to Jon Rahm making a 66 footer on Dustin Johnson, which was another long putt in a playoff.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, all very good. Probably better than mine that I threw out there. So welcome to join the conversation.
Yes. Well, you've joined in just in time for the Tommy Fleetwood portion of the show. Greg, lost in the monumental Canadian victory was the Tommy Fleetwood still winless on the PGA Tour conversation, not for lack of trying, although maybe made a mess of 18. We alluded to it a little bit there in regulation, but Tommy has been playing some of the better golf in recent years as of late, and no surprise to see him in the mix, but still cannot get across the finish line.
No. And again, his ball striking's coming back, which is nice. You're starting to see, this is Tommy Fleetwood in real form. And we're back to the point now where the question is, can Tommy Fleetwood do something clutch? And this was a step in the right direction. I think the wedge shots he hit at 16 and 17 today, and holding those putts were really clutch. I thought the putt he made in the first playoff hole was awesome. You know, that's the kind of moment you're waiting for from a Tommy Fleetwood. But mixed in between these great moments are moments where it feels like you don't want to win. You don't want to step across the line. And 18 in regulation is the most disappointing. No question about it. It's so disappointing. And you know, in the playoff, he had some good shots, some lackluster ones, you know, disappointing to hit it into the grandstand on your second. But still the wedge shot gave himself an opportunity. So look, he's like teetering on the brink. And I did see some really clutch moments that I think is a step in the right direction, but definitely a fair share of disappointing ones too.
Yeah, another close call for Tommy Fleetwood here, Patrick. And it was, certainly it was valiant to get into the playoff. He goes 64-67 on the weekend, did make those two late birdies to give everybody a scare. But I think the story at the end of the day is just another missed opportunity.
I mean, that was a masterclass on playing not to lose on the Sony second hole.
Yeah.
You heard Colt Knost there. I think, yes, he might have gotten iced a little bit. The Canadians pulled a timeout on him late in the game, and it clearly affected him. He misses the fairway. That's fine. I can forgive that. What I cannot forgive is compounding the mistake with that layup. And Colt Knost even said it. He's right there on the ground. He had the 5-wood in his hand. He put it behind the ball. He must have not liked it, but I mean, I saw the back of that ball on my TV. I don't want to question Tommy Fleetwood, but I'm going to. I don't know how you don't just rip it up there to the left side. And the number one cardinal sin, like, I feel like a complete idiot when I lay up with an iron and either hit in the water or hit in the rough. So I can't imagine how someone who is good at golf, who does it for a living, how he felt after that. And you saw it with that wedge shot, the third in regulation. Him and his caddy were kind of like getting a little testy. There's a little, there's a little awkwardness to it.
It was a little more testy, Patrick, than a guy who is an up and down away from victory would normally be, right? That you see that on Friday afternoon on 18 when you're two shots out of the cut line or three shots like that. That's very much a winning moment. You could tell there was a little something.
And look, I know Tommy played great. He had 71 fantastic holes, a great playoff putt there on the first one to keep himself alive. Missed two opportunities in the playoff as well. He was minus 400 to win on the tee on number 18, and he didn't get the job done. You could do the odds there. What's that, like 70-ish, 80-ish percent? 80. Yeah. And he didn't get the job done. And honestly, the 3-wood into the
mini driver.
Yeah, the burner. That club is sick, by the way. I need to get one of those.
We are available. Maybe not Greg. He's got ties. TaylorMade, we need the mini driver. We will shill that bad boy. Send it our way. I need one.
The one that flared super right, I don't think it was the mini one. It was the second playoff hole when maybe a 5-wood or whatever it was. That was very reminiscent of the Honda Classic.
I had the same thought.
Yep. What was that, 2020?
It had to be.
No, because that's when Sungjae won.
Yeah. Didn't Tommy? Didn't Tommy
was
put it in the water and Sungjae won?
Oh, I remember putting in the water. I don't remember Sungjae winning.
Was Nick Taylor the one in the back, or was it Mackenzie Hughes who was in the back giving the whole like, oh, those are some cojones for Sungjae taking that line?
That was Mackenzie.
I thought we were going to go full circle.
No.
But I wondered, Patrick, before that shot, I wondered if his decision to lay up was influenced by that. On 18 of regulation, did he lay up because he's gotten in trouble before in that situation? I don't know, but it's a good pull.
Yeah. So, I'm disappointed for a multitude of reasons. I thought this was my chance to get back into the one and done space. I had a whole speech lined up for you guys. I had to trash it. And then obviously it comes up short, but here we are.
Tough. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to hit a couple of quick notables here. We are going to do the one and done and the betting stuff, but I'm very close to declaring it, you know what, week. So we've got to do that as well. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Let me hit a couple of notables here. Terrell Hatton posts, Patrick, 16 under par, which did not get into a playoff, obviously one shot off, but it hung around for a while. He goes 72, 64, 72, 64. He made 10, count them, 10 birdies on Sunday, but probably not happy about that double on 8.
Yeah, one of the easier holes too. And even, I don't know if you guys saw the video of the volunteer taking off her socks, taking off her shoes, getting in there, identifying Terrell's golf ball in and out, like a bank job. It was his ball. Leads to a double bogey. Par, and he wins the tournament. It's pretty incredible. But this is a guy, it is kind of shocking to me, given how consistent, how good he is. He's really kind of gotten back into the gym. He's talked about a lot. He's taking care of his health a lot more. Similar to that 2020 season when he won the Arnold Palmer Invitational. But it is weird that this guy only has one PGA Tour win, given the quality of his golf this year. He's playing like a top six player in the world, maybe, I would reckon, I would argue.
The numbers are insane.
They, and it's so well-rounded too. I think that's what's most impressive about it. He ranks inside the top. I was looking at his stats before the Memorial. He was the only player inside the top 45 in each strokes gain category over the last 6 months, I believed at the time. And it's just really impressive.
He's going to get better than that because he was inside the top 35 in all of them this week as well. Greg, I agree. There's only so many trophies and there's a lot of guys who can win them, but Terrell Hatton knocks on the door weekly.
You think about a performance like this. With one round, he makes 10 birdies. Another round, he makes 9 birdies. The tournament that he's won on the PGA Tour is one of the most, I mean, that Arnold Palmer Invitational he won was impossible. It was the hardest golf course it was impossible to stop a ball on the green. So that well-rounded game works in birdie fests. It works in difficult golf courses. It will work. I believe it should work in majors. And that's kind of a next step for him. We get Terrell Hatton contending in a major championship. The game is in a prime position for that. And, you know, among the top players in the world, there's always questions about what happens with the putter, but he's really quite a good putter, and very consistent putter. I have very little issues, or worry with his putting stroke. So yeah, I think Terrell Hatton's got it all, and he's just got to get, you know, across a little hump. Maybe it's the way that he treats himself on the golf course. I don't know if that's a good thing for him or if that hurts him, but you know, his game is there. There's no question about it.
Maybe a little self-love he needs to practice out on the golf course. Rory McIlroy. Let's hit Rory and then we can move along here. 72 on Sunday, Patrick, which started pretty much with a whimper, out in 38. That's two over. Didn't make his first birdie until number 12. He equalizes his round at 16 with another birdie. It will not be three in a row for Rory. He will earn another top 10 finish, and he will roll on to LACC with 8.5 years between major championship wins.
8.5 years with 3 straight top 10 finishes, 4 straight top 10 finishes in the U.S. Open itself. The driver looked a lot better. I don't, there are some shots where it felt like his shoulders were a little bit open. I might just be like getting way too into the details with that. And PGA splits, Ron Kloss for Bettsburg was kind of tracking his wedge numbers, every wedge shot this week. And they weren't as bad as last week. We'll just put it that way. He was, you know, gaining strokes with his wedges, which is good for Rory McIlroy. But today it felt like, I haven't looked at the stats, it just felt like he couldn't make a putt to save his life. I would assume the stats back it up. And when your first birdie comes on the 12th hole in the final round, when you enter 2 strokes off the lead with a birdie fest set up, especially on the back nine, it's not a good look. But Colt Knoe said he's really looking forward to next week. We've heard it all from Rory McIlroy heading into major championships. It is win or bust at this stage in his career. Whether that's fair or not, that's a completely different conversation. But I think it was a good tune-up, and we talked about it last week. I like that Rory is kind of playing through some of these changes in his swing instead of just going home and practicing. So it should suit him well for next week.
Lost 2.5 strokes putting, or 2.1 strokes putting on Sunday, but was a pretty big gainer for the week, 19th, 3.6 to the positive. Looking at the stats for the week as a whole, Greg, driver work, 6 strokes there, second in the field, top 20 in putting, top 50 in the other two major strokes gained categories. What's the state of the union on Rory McIlroy heading to Los Angeles?
It's not sharp, but you look at a guy that's not sharp and he's got 3 straight top 10 finishes. It just tells you what kind of player we're dealing with here. And we obviously know that. It's no surprise. It's no news, but this could be really close. And you look at LACC and how many of those wedge shots are you going to get? I mean, this back nine at LACC is it's a beast. You're not going to be hitting 8-9 wedges into greens here. So I think it kind of suits right into Rory's game. Maybe other than the firm and fast element, if you think that hurts Rory, which I go back and forth on, I think this plays right into his hands. You got wider fairways here at this U.S. Open. I was really feeling quite positive about the putting. I thought in yesterday's round, you saw a lot of whether they went in or not, better putts. Better contact on the face. It just looked better. And today we missed a lot of it on the broadcast because he was out of contention. Stats obviously don't look very good. But I give him a pat. This is all about major championships for him. So heading into next week, I think Rory's in a prime spot. I also think that his world is in a strange way simplified now. Like we talked about briefly last night, Rick, I don't think Rory's going to be writing letters to any congressman. I don't think he's going to be, looking at the FTC or the DOJ and getting involved in any of that stuff. So this is now just about golf now, which I think is a good place for him to be.
I was going to say, what if Rory on like Tuesday's presser just announced his run for the presidency? But I guess as a Northern Irishman who's also not – is he 35 yet? I don't even know.
Nah, he's 1 year too young. Got to wait until 28, unfortunately.
A couple ways to be ineligible, I think. But I don't know. Maybe I'll run for some type of office.
Look, after this week, nothing is surprising.
Honestly.
Nothing would surprise me.
Honestly, seriously, I have no idea. What I do know is we had an okay week on the bets. So do we have the graphic, please, Josh? Thank you kindly. 3-1. That was Oliver shaking in the corner. 3-1 on the matchups. Excuse me. 2-1-1. Corey Connors over Cam Young. Greg, piece of cake for you.
Oh, such a breeze. And Corey was a little bit of a letdown, but Cam Young's been struggling a little bit. So kind of picking on a weak defender, which is crazy to say. It's Cam Young. But I like the plus money on that. So there we go. Easy. Cash it.
I pushed Adrian Meronk and Keith Mitchell. Patrick, you got, how about this one? Lee Hodges and Harry Hall. You went deep down the board to find your matchup.
Yeah, as I typically do. But I don't want to take the heat off Kyle's minus 240 loser. Wait.
Yeah, this was pretty tough. So it was Ludvig Åberg over Sam Bennett. Åberg finished T25. Bennett finished T20. So that's one shot. Bennett nips him with a 68 to Ludvig 69 on Sunday. And KP lays the juice, and it was not worth the squeeze.
He's like a kid in a candy store. Next week is going to be all about Gordon Sargent at the U.S. Open. Maybe Thor Bjornsson, too. He didn't really see his name in the list this week. These young guys,
they're so hard to predict. They're so hard to predict. I mean, they're all extremely talented. Just, it's like who's going to play well, if any of them. It's not about talent. So that's a tough, risky game to be playing.
We got two out of the four winning finishing positions. Dylan Wu, top 40. Cash it. Aaron Rye, top 20. Cash it. That was 3-1, Patrick. Hat tip to you. And he did, I think, much better than T20. But it would have been a real nice sweep for you, Patty, if you got Tommy Ladd at 22-1. But unfortunately, that is not going to go into your winnings.
Yeah, I thought this week was about to be full on Billy Madison. I'm the smartest man alive at the spelling bee situation. But unfortunately, Tommy Fleetwood's compounding mistakes on the 72nd hole had other plans for Patrick.
Shame, 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 shame. One and done update. Patrick, you do win the week pretty significantly, though, here, because Tommy Fleetwood gets you a cool, let's see, $981,000, which is like $800,000 more than anybody else got, because the vast majority of us went with Shane Lowry, $27,000. Mark went with Corey Connors, $102,000. I went with Matt Fitzpatrick, $102,000. So you had a good week here. You're still in last place, but you had a good week.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I need to stay humbled, but I had a whole speech planned about how I was going to pick off these national opens one by one by one. It would start with the Canadians. Then we'd go to the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now who I'm picking next week. It's going to be one Jonathan Rahm. Have you seen his California stats? Have you seen his U.S. Open form? I don't know how many people have him left.
Never heard of a Jonathan Rahm.
Jonathan Rahm. And then Scottish Open, picking that one off. Open Championship, picking that one off. But unfortunately, that Tommy Fleetwood debacle kind of threw that plan out the window. And I'm scrambling. I am scrambling heavy at this moment. But John Rahm will win next week.
Do you want to, Patrick, could you welcome me into this? Do you want to do like we could do a partner thing? You, I, and Sia are the only ones who have them available. I'm willing to go in with you on this if we can ensure Sia is not involved.
Well, I know we like to make fun of Sia a lot. He's an easy target, like myself. We got a band together, but I would argue I am the mush this year.
I know
that's kind of Sia's connotation.
Sia's like back in it now, but
yeah, he's right in the mix.
Yeah, I don't want to impose myself on you, Rick. Okay. I mean, Jordan Spieth missed the cut at Colonial when I picked him. Colin Morikawa withdrew before the final round. You were on that one.
I was
with him. Yeah. I would stay far away. It's like SpongeBob when he smells and he calls himself ugly. That's me right now. I'm the smelly kid in class. No one wants to sit around me.
Tough scene. All right. Well, I think I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it. I'm officially declaring it U.S. Open week. We are going to LACC. It's going to be sick. Cannot wait. We're going to dive into it. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals.
Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The North Course at Los Angeles Country Club, a George Thomas masterpiece. Greg, the word of the week will be Barranca. Can you wait? I cannot wait.
Love a good Barranca.
Mm-hmm.
But this will be a very interesting U.S. Open. It's atypical. My read on it right now, it's atypical. You have really wide fairways. Yeah. You have very little rough. But the rough you do have, we're already starting to see the videos. It's long.
Yep.
And it does not look easy. Seems like it's going to be pretty firm and fast. It seems like there's a lot of undulation in the fairways. You're going to see the ball on the ground a lot this week, in my estimation. Some really cool green complexes. You got 290 yard par three.
Two of them.
And then, yeah, this is going to be very unique.
And another par three that could play like 79 yards and a par four that is drivable, but you can't see the green from.
Right. What is that? Number six? Is that the blind? Six. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got 13 or 14 where the freaking Playboy Mansion is. Now, this thing has it all. This golf course has it all. Patrick, Greg's right. This is not necessarily like a traditional USGA setup, right? It's not winged foot, thick rough. The fairways are wide. Greg's absolutely right, but there's a lot of camber. There's a lot of angles. There's a lot of undulation that essentially makes them play much more narrow. And if you are on kind of the wrong side of it, you'll have a lot of blind shots into greens. If you want options, there's like 400 options on how to play every hole. It's unbelievable.
First glance, based on my extensive research to this point, it is as if kind of Dirty Mike and the boys hopped in the back of the red Prius. And for this conversation, Dirty Mike and the boys are Kapalua, Riviera, Augusta with a hint of Whistling Straits. Hence my love for John Rahm this week. I think he won at three of those courses and was dominant at another. But yeah, it's going to be very fun. I think people are going to say it's kind of quirky. I've heard some Chambers Bay, some Jordan Spieth love as well. I don't hate that. Yeah, creativity, got to hit it far off the tee. Even though the fairways are wide, you got to be in the right portion of the fairway. And so it's going to set up for a great week.
I agree. I don't think you have to be super long. Admittedly, I think it's going to be pretty firm. I'll be out there Monday. I'm spending all day Monday at LACC. I'm spending all day Tuesday at LACC. I will. If you need any intel, if you want me to slam a golf ball into a grandstand and see how far it bounces back, I can do that. If you need any research, I'm available. But Greg, I mean, it's unfortunate, but just for like the second straight year, I think a lot of the early part of the week might be dominated by some LIV stuff, right? This is what happened to Brookline last year because LIV played their very first event opposite of RBC Canadian Open last year. So it feels very similar to that, where a lot of the early week conversation will be dominated by LIV. And then the closer we get to this thing kicking off on Thursday morning, like just the golf course takes over.
And I do think the golf course will be the story, but it is going to wait until Thursday, right? And there's no way around it. This is just the way it is. And hopefully this kind of marks the end of these stories being the biggest news in golf and dominating the interview, the press room for the opening days of major championships. Hopefully that's all behind us. But I do think this is going to be an extremely unique test. And I've read a lot about it. I've looked at a lot of pictures. I've done all the remote research that I think you can, but I definitely want all that stuff you're going to have tomorrow, Rick. So whatever you get a video, you get a feeling, you get a whatever it is. You see somebody slip and fall, I want to know about it. Because I can't wait to see it. I think it's really, I'm curious about the end of this tournament because it's big. Right. All the holes on the back nine, 13 in, it's big boy golf.
Yeah.
And I want to know how that actually plays. You know, is it, do you have to, is a bomber going to be, is this, you know, Brooks, DJ, Rom, Scheffler kind of a deal? Or does it open it up to the creative guys, which is my lean now, the Spieths of the world, the you know, maybe a Shane Lowry who crushed my soul and won it on this week. Maybe somebody like that. It, does this open up the field to anybody? I can't wait to see it. I mean, a 290-yard par three. You got two of them. That is, it's so long. It almost takes the distance advantage out of it in a strange way. Like, it becomes a short game contest.
Yeah, because like, how many guys are hitting the green?
Right. You're. And does it matter if it's a 2-iron or a 5-wood or a 3-wood? Is there a huge difference between those? I don't know. That's a short game contest. So I'm very curious. Go ahead.
That hole is, they play it as a par 4 sometimes for members. It's a flex.
Depending on hole location, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I'm glad they're not going to do that. They did it at Chambers Bay. Didn't they change the par one day?
Yes. They're not. Yes. And they're not going to do
18,
that.
Right?
It wasn't 18, was
no.
it?
No, it wasn't 18. There were two holes they...
Yes, which is a data nightmare, by the way, if you change par in the middle of a tournament.
There's no reason for it anyway, right? Yeah. Par is just a...
Yeah, they're not...
It doesn't matter.
Fugazi.
There's a chance that... I don't know if I have the hole numbers right. I can check in a second. But there's a chance... par won't change, but there is a chance that 7, a par 3... could play longer than 6, a par 4. So depending on where the tees are on 6 and where the tees are on 7, you could get a situation where they flip-flop, which is pretty
scary. I heard them talk about a lot of like Scott Langley, the USGA player relations, former PGA Tour player, a lot of half pars, like the first hole being an easy par 5.
That's a George Thomas thing. George Thomas at the did it at Bel Air, where you get a very easy par 5 to start where it plays like a 4.5 and a very hard par 4 second, which will play to 4.5. And George Thomas like invented the half par.
Yeah. So between these half pars and the flex hole, I'm going to have to get in the lab and whip something up. I'm not quite sure yet, but this George Thompson guy, I like the cut of his cloth.
Yeah. George Thomas. Close enough.
Yeah.
What are the other big storylines here? Because, you know, we don't have, I mean, I guess Phil is technically going for the career grand slam, but I don't know how realistic that is. You know, we don't have a single season grand slam on the line. Is it the 8.5-year drought for Rory McIlroy? Is it like, what are the other, I feel like, you know, the Masters or even the PGA, because you could always say, oh, well, if Rom wins this one, you know, he's going to take the Grand Slam to the US Open. Like, what are the other storylines for this week?
Well, I mean, Brooks Koepka is a pretty big storyline to me, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, adding a third, you know, he could get to 6.
Yikes.
And back to back. And it'd be a second, a win, and a win if he is able to win this US Open. So where is he still, you know, he's been great in the first two. Is Brooks still the best player in majors? Like, are we going to get this for an extended period of time? I think that's a really big storyline. Scheffler and Rahm are big storylines to me too.
I think it is a first time major winner, I think is what we're going to get with.
Really?
Yeah. Front runners being Xander, Cantlay, Victor. I think that is a three-headed monster of guys who could break through and get their first. I like the way this place sets up for those guys. They're trending. I think that would be interesting.
Max.
I mean, the story for Max is like, dude, what are we doing at major championships? I mean, if he pulled it off, it'd be unbelievable. I mean, he might never stop crying and he shouldn't. Right. But like,
he's just got to get in content. He's just got to get in it. Get in the fight.
He's got to get,
you
in
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he hasn't been able to do that.
He's the only player inside the top 10 in the world without a top 10 in a major championship. the last player to win a major championship without a previous top 10.
Wait.
Webb Simpson, 2012, Olympic Club. So he has a lot going against him.
I wouldn't have guessed.
But going back to Greg's Brooks point, I'm very interested to see if the LIV Golf cadence, their schedule, will have any effect on them, because they are not playing across from national opens like the Canadian Open this week. They won't be playing across the Scottish Open. Brooks Koepka, known to play his best golf on week two. He has won all five of his major championships on week two, 19 times since 2014. He has played the week before a major championship. He has as many runner-ups as finishes outside the top 20, three, zero missed cuts, all five of his wins. So for me, that might be kind of in the background to see if it affects them in any way.
Wow, that's pretty good. Patrick, I was thinking about you. Why don't we take John Rahm, parlay it with those Vegas Golden Knights, and see what number we can get for a little parade down the strip and John Rahm winning in L.A.?
We'd get him, what, like 12-1 at this point?
Are we talking
series price or game five?
I was going to say series price.
Okay. Yeah, yes. That's,
hey, listen, just a little more. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I'm into it.
Any other U.S. Open stuff? We're going to have you covered wall to wall next week. But anything else that we need to tease right now?
No, I don't think so. I think Colin Morikawa was healthy, though. He's been posting out there.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well,
there's a lot to look forward to.
There's a lot to look forward to. We will be rocking and rolling this week with pods and coverage from the site. I don't know when Kyle gets into town, but I'll be there tomorrow. I think he might get in on Tuesday. I'll have to check with him. But we'll be there, and it'll be cool. Appreciate you guys. Enjoyed it.
Appreciate you, Rick.
Josh does all the hard work behind the scenes. Thank you very much. Patrick McDonald at Amateur Status. Greg Ducharme at The Real GFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.